يعني أيام العشر, that is to say those 10 days. قالوا, the companions will be surprised. First 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the deeds in those first 10 days are daring, more beloved in the sight of Allah than any other group of days, including Ramadan, including the last 10 nights of Ramadan, we are coming back there, including jihad fi sabilillah, including so many things will come in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The deeds in these days are better and more beloved in the sight of Allah than any other than it. So the companions asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulallah, walal jihad fi sabilillah, even going for jihad fi sabilillah in other months. Are you saying that the deeds of these days, for 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they are even better than going for jihad outside these 10 days? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walal jihad fi sabilillah, even jihad in the past. It's not of the same category of reward like jihad or like the good deeds the individual performs on these days. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْجِعِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ, except in the case of a man, خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ, he went out with his life and his possessions, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْجِعِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ, and he did not come back with anything of that. He didn't come back with any possession. He didn't also come back with what? With his life. That is the one who has a deed reward better than the good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. First 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. This hadith, don't be surprised. This hadith, رواه البخاري. This hadith, according to Sahih Bukhari. First 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Good deeds done in them are most rewarding. Better than even jihad fi sabilillah, except in the case of a man who went with the entirety, malihi, his mal, all his possessions, not just some of his possessions, wa nafsi, and his life, thumma lam yarji' min dhalika bi shay', and he did not come back with any of that, that is, he died on the battlefield. It is that one that has more reward than good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. From Yawm al-Sabt, next Yawm al-Sabt, inshallah. May Allah keep us till then and thereafter. Good deeds done in those first 10 days have more rewards than good deeds done outside them, except for an individual who goes on jihad fi sabilillah with the entirety of his possessions and then his life, and then he did not come back with anything of that. That is the one who has more reward than performing good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. This hadith was collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. It also occurs in Sunnah. The reason I said you'll be surprised is these things are not commonly said like this. I'm sure some of the people will find it very strange. Good deeds done in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they have better rewards than jihad fi sabilillah. Except the individual goes with all that he has and his life, and he does not come back with any of them. That is why he has better reward than performing good deeds in the first 10 days of the future. So to Omura, from Abiyo to Omura, I let it. Deserves that we prepare for it, so that we can end good deeds. This hadith, as we mentioned at the beginning, was collected by Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu. Likewise, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As has a similar report. Likewise, Abu Hurairah has a similar report. In another wording of this same hadith by Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ فِيهَا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ. There are no group of days. الْعَمَلُ فيها أفضل من أيام العشر. That has good deeds inside them, better than the 10 days. There are no group of days that have good deeds better than them, like these first 10 days. Don't ask me about Ramadan, because the hadith is clear, even though we are coming back to it, inshallah. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali in his Sharh, his Fath al-Bari, rahimahullah, he says, وَقَدْ دَلَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ فِي أَيَّامِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ فِي أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ غَيْرِ اسْتِثْنَاءِ. He says, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ دَلَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ. This hadith has proven that عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ فِي أَيَّامِهِ, that the good deeds in these first 10 days, أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, those good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they are more beloved before Allah, or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنَ الْعَمَلِ فِي أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا, than the good deeds in the rest of the days of this dunya, مِنْ غَيْرِ اسْتِثْنَاءِ شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا, without any exception of it. Our little young children can ask us, which are the best days to perform good deeds? Many people will say last 10 days of Ramadan. This hadith is evidence that you are wrong. We are coming back to it. The clear-cut evidence. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. There are no group of days in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah in هذه الأيام than these first 10 days of the Hijjah. First 10 days of the Hijjah. The good deeds in them, Allah likes them more than good deeds in any other time. So that was why Imam Ibn Rajab said, rahimahullah, says, دَلَّ الْحَدِيثُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ فِي أَيَّامِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ في أيام الدنيا. This hadith is evidence that the good deeds in those first 10 days, they are more beloved to Allah than all the days, all other days in this dunya. من غير استثناء شيء منها, without any exception from those days. وَإِذَا كَانَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, if the good deeds in these days are more beloved to Allah than on the other days, فَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ إِنْدَهُ, then that means that those days are more virtuous and of bigger excellence before Allah. If good deeds in those days are more beloved to Allah, it means those days are better in the sight of Allah. First 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ. First 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. That is why the ulama, rahimahumullah, do we know they've been writing books on the virtues of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah? Al-Imam Abu al-Qasim, Al-Tabarani, Imam al-Tabarani, long ago, he has a book, Fadlu Ashri Dhul-Hijjah. Long ago, old book. This is it, Fadlu Ashri Dhul-Hijjah. He combined ahadith, compiled ahadith from Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, gathered them with the asanid up onto him. That proved that the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are more rewarding in the sight of Allah in terms of their good deeds and virtues than any other day from the days of this dunya. First 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Ikhwa. That statement of Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Anha Al-Hanbali occurs in his book, Lataif Al-Ma'ad. He also made similar statements in his book, Fath Al-Bari Rahimahullah. He also said, وهذا الحديث يدل على أن العمل المفضول. وهذا الحديث يدل على أن العمل المفضول. This hadith proves that a good deed that is lesser in its reward في الوقت الفاضل, but that you perform that good deed in a time of virtue. يرحمك الله. Take it that a good deed is of a lesser reward. But that good deed is being performed till work till fadl, at a time of great virtue. يَلْتَحِكُ بِالْعَمَلِ الْفَاضِلِ. It will have the reward of a good deed of a bigger virtue. Do we understand this point? Fi ghayrihi. It will have the good deed of a bigger virtue, a bigger good deed that was observed at a time outside these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Wa yazidu alayhi. It may even have bigger virtues in the sight of Allah. Bi mudha'afati thawabihi wa ajrihi. Because its reward will be manifold, will be doubled and doubled, and given in manifold, and given in manifold. So in terms of the reward, a good deed that is of a lesser value, ceteris paribus, but observed at a virtuous period, will now begin to have bigger rewards than a good deed that is observed, that is better than it ordinarily, but observed at its other time that is not as virtuous as the first time that the degree of the good deed itself is less. I hope that is correct. Good deeds are affected by time. A deed of a lesser reward may get manifolds of rewards if observed at a better time, at the time of virtue. A good deed, lesser in reward, may now come in the same degree with another good deed of a bigger reward because of the time that you have performed that good deed that ordinarily has a lesser reward. Likewise, location. Location also affects good deeds. Location affects good deeds. Like good deeds observed perhaps in Makkah, in Haram, like Salawat in Haram. They have better rewards. So location affects the rewards of good deeds. Likewise, the time that those good deeds are performed, they also influence and increase the rewards of those good deeds. The same way, things observed in the period of virtue are worse in their consequences than things observed in the other times. That's why things observed also in Medina and Makkah, they are worse criminality than when they are observed outside these two cities. I hope that this matter is clear. Even though no sin is good, they are bad and worse. May Allah protect all of us. So location and time affect good deeds and sins. Good deeds are more rewarding in their manifold of reward when performed in the times of virtue. One hadith that proves this is this hadith of the virtue of Ashri Zil-Hijjah, in which the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min ayyamin al-amalu salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam. Qalu ya Rasulallah, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Qala walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Illa rajulun kharaja binafsihi wa malihi, thumma lam yarji min thalika bishayk. May Allah grant us the full rewards of good deeds in these first 10 days of the Hijjah. In a similar hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma reported that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ma min ayyamin afdalu inda Allah. You see now. Ma min ayyamin afdalu inda Allah min ayyami ashri zil Hijjah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min ayyamin afdalu inda Allah. There are no days that are better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min ayyami ashri dhul-hijjah than the first 10 days of dhul-hijjah. Than the first 10 days. No days are better, more virtuous in the sight of Allah than these first 10 days. Don't ask me also about Yawmul Jummah, because Yawmul Jummah can fall in those days. It is not talking about the day as a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, no. It is talking about the group of days. So, and then don't forget that there is no way the Jummah will not fall in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So it is not talking about a day in terms of the day that the sun comes out and the moon. It's talking about the day as whatever the day may be. I hope that this point is clear to us. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min ayyamin afdalu inda Allahi min ayyam ashri bil hijja. This hadith was collected by Imam Ibn Hibban. And Shaykh Isa Musa Hadi in his Tahqiq of Lata'if al-Ma'arif by Al-Hafiz al-Hajar, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he said that this hadith is sahihun li ghayri. This hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah. The Shaykh grades it as what? Hadithun sahihun li ghayri. Hafizahullah. In another version of this hadith collected by Imam al-Bazzar in his Musnad, the hadith said, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. The best of the days in this dunya are those 10 days of the future. The best days in this dunya. So it can form a quiz question. A quiz question for children. What are the best days in this dunya? The first 10 days of the Hijjah. I am sure perhaps before this discussion, many of us will say last 10 days of Ramadan. These ahadith are clear cuts from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are more beloved, and the good deeds in them are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any other days in this dunya. Allahu Akbar. This hadith, this law by Imam al-Bazzar, was graded authentic by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah in his tahqiq on at-targhib wa tarhib. For us to know that these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are very virtuous, Allah swore with them in the Quran. In Surah al-Fajr, Allah said, wal-Fajr, He swore by day, by the dawn, when it becomes dawn, that is when daytime starts and breaks open away from night time. Allah swore with that period. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa layalin ashrin. He also swore with the 10 days. There are issues here amongst ulama. Layalin ashrin. Why do we say 10 days? Why do we not say 10 nights? Arabs use the two interchangeably. They can say al-layl and they mean what? Nahar. They can say nahar and they mean what? Day. And they can say yaw and they mean day, daytime. They can say yaw and they mean the night time. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ أُلَمَا عَلَى الصَّحِيحِ مِنْ أَقْوَالِ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ. From that which is correct, I didn't just say it is correct. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir in Dhubat Tafsir ibn Kathir. He says, Rahimahullah, says, وَلَيَالِ الْعَشْرِ. And the 10 nights that Allah refers to in this verse, المراد بها, what it refers to, what these nights refer to is Ashra Dhul-Hijjah. They refer to the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Kama qalahu ibn Abbas, just like Abdullah ibn Abbas had explained it, wa ibn Zubayr and Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu have both explained it, wa Mujahid, and Imam Mujahid ibn Jabr, he has so explained it too, wa ghayru wahidin min as-salafi wal-khalaf. And very many, more than one amongst many of the Salaf, those who had gone past amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'u, and those who came after them. Then he started mentioning other opinions regarding Al-Layal al-Ashr. Rahimahullah. Thereafter he said, Was-Sahih al-Qawl al-Awwal. Was-Sahih al-Qawl al-Awwal. Al-Hafiz al-Hajar said, the correct thing about this verse is that وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ refers to what? The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Because there are those who say لَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ refers to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Some say no, it refers to the first 10 nights of Ramadan. Some say no, it refers to the first 10 days of Muharram. And Imam Ibn al-Jawzi in Zad al-Masir mentioned these four opinions. Ibn Kathir only mentioned three of them. And then he said, Rahimahullah, والصحيح القول الأول. And what is correct from all these opinions is the first view that وليالٍ عشرٍ refers to what? The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Likewise, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali in Lataif Al-Ma'arif, he say, وَهَذَا الصَّحِيحُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ جُمْهُورُ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ. This is the correct opinion that the large majority of the scholars of Tafsir have held, من السلفي وغيره, amongst the scholars who came in the time of the Tabi'un and those who came after them. وَهُوَ الصَّحِيحُ عَنِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ. And that is what is correctly reported from who? Abdullah ibn Abbas. That what is walayali nash? The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So these days are so virtuous that Allah swore with them. He swore with the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The last statement we read was from the Taif al-Ma'arif. This is the reason why the ulama are divided. They have held differently. Which one is more virtuous? First 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, first 10 days of Ramadan, last 10 days of Ramadan, first 10 days of Muharram. Some say, okay, the issue is that Allah says, وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ. This is the opinion of people like Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, that وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ is لَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ. 10 nights. That those nights are the most virtuous because they have Laylatul Qadri. And Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahrin. The night of power is more virtuous than 1,000 months. This is so because that night would occur in the last 10 months, the last 10 days of Ramadan. The last 10 days of Ramadan are more virtuous. The last 10 nights of Ramadan. But as for daytime, the daytime of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are more virtuous. But the nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan are more virtuous than the nights of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Do we understand? They said it is layal, nights. So the nights of Ramadan are better, more virtuous. But the days of the first 10 days of the Hijjah are more virtuous. It appears that's also the opinion of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. He is also of the opinion that walayalin ashrin refers to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But that's a weaker opinion, Allahu alam. As these ulama have said, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir and Ibn Rajab rahimahullah. Rahimahumullah, they hold it stronger than me. It's referring to those days. And don't forget, those ahadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas in Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari that we read to us, are clear-cut proofs that the best days are the last 10 days of, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Ulama say days are what the Prophet talked about, whether in the morning or in the night, they are better than the days in Ramadan. He said, because these ahadith are clear-cut. It says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. What else do we want? There are no group of days. And you can't remove the night of the days from the days. When you calculate 10 days, you can't disconnect the night of those days from those days. So they say, no, the Prophet made it clearly, yes. The last 10 nights of Ramadan are very virtuous. But it will make us understand the great virtue of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Those first 10 days are very, very important days. First 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Maybe if I have a job, I can free people and pay them. Don't come for work today. Go and spend first 10 days of them. But I am not, I'm al-Majiri. May Allah make things easy for us. So now, how do we prepare for those 10 days? And what are the things that the Sharia encourages us to do? Even though the expressions of those ahadith are general, all good deeds in them are better. So any good deed, you can make sadaqah, you can make fasting, good deeds, they are general. the fasting of Monday and Thursday in these last, in the first 10 days of Ramadan are more rewarding than your Monday and Thursday outside this first 10 days. The sadaqah you give, 1 naira, is more rewarding than the other one. The salah you observe in jama'ah, more rewarding than salah outside it. Your nawafil, first 10 days of Ramadan, they are more rewarding than your nawafil outside them. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, your nawafil inside them are more rewarding than outside them. Just think of the good deeds. You're struggling to end for your family lawfully, more rewarding than outside them. Do we know that jihad too? Fisabilillah, struggling to end for our home. Very important. Very, very important. From the obligations of the religion over a man to earn to feed his wife. It will not make the wife be running about foki, 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 foki. Many women are running about foki, foki, foki now. Because we begin to hear that many men too now fail in responsibility. I do not know how a person will call himself a man and he is sharing school fees with his wife. Umu. I think such men need ruqya. Komala. Ikhwa, that is a reality. Don't sell out your being a husband. Don't be a sellout. I've had many cases. A husband will be saying, asking the woman how much her salary is. They'll be sharing it. You'll be sharing responsibility at home. That is not from the attributes of a responsible man in Islam. May Allah make us responsible men. So these fail in the responsibilities by many men. Fail in responsibility does not mean he only has little. The wife should manage with the little. These are two different things. I only have little. Let's manage this little. The Quran recognizes this little. It says, وَمَنْ كُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْكُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ. And so just one can gain, Allah can gain, man, Lord, or gain, see, Lord. He has only, he cut only a little to his hand. فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ. Let him give, spend over his family from that little. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. Allah has not brought a burden over his soul beyond his ability. So Allah gives words to the husband and wife. What is it? سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِينِ يُسْرًا. Am I worried? The two of you. After this period of difficulty, Allah will bring bounteous provision. So it's not talking about the husband is only earning 15,000 naira. He goes to school early in the morning. He comes back from school at 5 p.m. and he can only bring 15,000. Most times perhaps he will trek to school. He will trek back from school. He will still bring 15,000. This woman now begins to say, hey, Sokogidi, Terebawa Silana, This is not from the attributes of a good wife. She will manage the 15,000. And this does not now mean, you see, our children must go to a school where they are paying. At least we must educate our children very well. So the woman insists that the children must go to a school where they pay 90,000 naira. When she knows that the husband cannot pay the fees, she will now say, at least me too, I will open one shop, I will be running about so that I can compliment him. Nobody send you that job. وَمَنْ كُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْكُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا. According to ability. If the ability is Aregbeshola schools.
Go to Aregbeshola schools.
Yesterday I listened, let's leave all that because of time. But I want to make us understand that barakat matters a lot. Barakat, you will be until Jama Ariolal Barikanye, don't bring to your husband burdens he can't bear in terms of treating the children. So I even heard that some women will say, oh, they can't tie some types of diapers, it is falling diapers they can tie. We were brought up with napping, àti Ankara. Ilédi. They will cut pieces of clothes and put it on white napkin. I grew up to see the ones I used when I was a little young boy. I still remember them. In fact, I remember where my mommy used to dry them. Today, it is use and throw away. Those days, our mothers used to wash those napkins with their hands. Woe for what for is there one. And you for what for better near in your book. Eh, for what for better in your book. Ele ha yin abo pe ah ele se yin ah o le se kin iya re se baba re se what your father your mother some husbands did it for their wives when she became unable to do it in those days. My own uncle is a professor today. Oh man, he tells me the story to today with what more for napi eh for napi it is use and throw away e to amo so kin iru kan le se eru kan. Ẹbẹ̀rù ohun ọba dẹ́dá yín o. Fear Allah. May Allah protect us. Because she wants Dr. Brown is the reason to work in full typical killing it. She does not want to use, which is the cheapest. So if the husband insists on napkin lalo, we buy 12 napkins. They can use it, clean it. And most of the women now have washing machines in their homes. It is not hands they wash with again now. So kile wa fe ma se nu ile gan kile fe fi wa di janna. So taking care of your babies, washing, cleaning the house in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they are better for you than in other days. Just like the man's going running about looking for what to feed the house with, luckily, they are more rewarding for him in the first 10 days of the Hijjah than in other days. All these things are good deeds. Don't la tahkiranna min al ma'ruf shay'an. Don't demean, look demeanly at any good deeds. Every good deed is rewarded by Allah. So we have to prepare for these first 10 days. The first way to prepare ourselves, we have 5 days now. We have Monday, Tuesday, that's Monday to Friday, or Sabbath, to get ready. From the first things we have to prepare our mind for is At-Tawbah to Ilallah. Repent to Allah sincerely before those days start. Repent. Allah says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Tubu, no restriction. Repent unto Allah before these days approach. The second thing is, الْعَزْمُ الْجَائِدُ Alaqtina mi hazihi al-ayyam. Having strong preparation and readiness in the mind. Alaqtina mi hazihi al-ayyam. So that we can maximally benefit from these days. We should get ready in our mind. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Crave for what will bring benefit. So begin to be ready for it. It is very important. Because Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. So if you prepare by making ijtihad now in your mind to get ready, inshallah, Allah will help you and guide you onto those good deeds in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Be ready. The third thing ulama mentioned is, al-burdu anil ma'asi. Run away from sins now. Because from the punishment of sins is that you would find it hard to do good deeds. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, when he discussed this matter in Lata'if al-Ma'arif, he said rahimahullah, احذروا المعاصي, احذروا, run away from sins now, فإنها تحرم المغفرة في مواسم الرحمة فإن المعاصي بكثرة تحرم المغفرة it will protect you to prevent you from earning Allah's forgiveness in these periods of festivity. In these periods of Rahma, sins will prevent you, they will not allow you to move forward. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ بَقْتُعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ whoever's good, evil deeds has pulled him back. It means good deeds can, evil deeds can pull somebody back. مَنْ بَقْتُعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ whoever's evil deeds pull him back. Is your way any amafayale? The evil deeds of a person will draw him back. It will not make him be able to do something. So let us prepare, leave sins, make tawbah, and get ready. From that is this kind of educating ourselves about the virtue of these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that will start by next Saturday, inshallah. So everybody must be ready. The next area we like to talk about is, now when we become ready, what are the things that we should be setting our minds to get engaged in? All good deeds. All good deeds. From amongst them, for those who are on Hajj, is Hajj itself. Begin to prepare for your Hajj. Perform the Hajj correctly. Today is 25th, Kof. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left Medina for Mecca on the 25th of Zulqa'da, when he made his only Hajj, the 10th year of Hijrah. He left Medina for Mecca on the 25th of Zulqa'da, and he arrived in Mecca on the 4th of Zulhijjah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spent 9 days on the route. 9 days. So you rujun ilan al-Nibir alayhi salam. Spent 9 days on the road. These days we spent 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, if it is by bus, up to 10 hours. Because those buses don't exceed 100 kilometers per hour. Maximum. They go back to 1800. If you are using a nice car, 5-6 hours you are in Makkah from Medina. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they trekked that journey for 9 days. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhu. So let us prepare for it. So it means from the beginning of Dhul Hijjah, they were on the road. Those steps they will carry are more rewarding than the steps they will carry in other times. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these deeds are very rewarding because of these virtues of the first 10 days of the Hijjah. And then Yawm al-Tarwiyah, for those in Hajj, if you are making Hajj al-Tamattu, on the 8th day of the Hijjah is when Hajj itself starts. If you are making Hajj al-Tamattu, if you arrive, you go out of Ihram after Umrah, you come into lawfulness again. If you have your wife with you or your husband, they become lawful for you. This is Hajj al-Tamattu. So, but on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, Hajj itself starts. You come back to Ihram and you move from Makkah to Mina. That day is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. It is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah because in those days in Mina, there is no water. So they used to fetch water from Mecca to Mina. That was why that 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah is called what? Yawm al-Tarwiyah. So that is the 8th day. The 9th day is Yawm al-Arafah. Yawm al-Arafah has one peculiarity. It has two nights. Yawm al-Arafah has two nights. The first night of Yawm al-Arafah is the night that follows Yawm al-Tarwiyah. The second night of Yawm al-Arafah is the night when pilgrims sleep in Muzdalifah. No day has this virtue. Yawm al-Arafah has two nights. The night that follows Yawm al-Tarwiyah And the night that follows the daytime of Arafah, the night when the pilgrims are in Muzdalifah, ti awa mura du leyai, ale Arafakan. The night before, ale Arafakan. Yom Arafah has two nights. So these are from the virtues of the first 10 days of the Hijjah. All these big activities are inside these first 10 days of the Hijjah. The day that Shaitan becomes most disgraced is the day of Arafah. Shaitan is most disgraced. Al-Imam ibn Mubarak, Al-Sufyan ibn Uyayna were said to have had a discussion in Muzdalifah. In the night of the second night of Arafah, the night preceding the day that we at home slaughter our rams, he was asking, "Man ashkon nafliyo, who is the most useless and wretched person today?" They were in Muzdalifah. One was asking the other, "Tadolori buruku juloni." Man ashkanna al-yawm. Who is the most wretched of people today? Shaqi ashqahum. The worst of the people in wretchedness. He said that is the one who is in Muzdalifah and he is still in doubt whether Allah has forgiven all his sins. Olori burukunye. May Allah protect us. So all these big, because the day of Arafah, Allah will forgive your sins. Hajj itself brings no less reward than that. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man hajja lillah, add that condition to it. Man hajja liman lillah, falam yarfuq walam yafsuq, raja'a kayomi waladathu ummuhu, lam yarfuq, wa min ihram. He did not speak emotional talk to his wife, neither did he act emotional to his wife, lam yarfut wa lam yafsuk, and he did not deliberately commit a sin when in the state of ihram. Don't forget, I said location and time affect sins and they support good deeds. It says raja'a kayomi waladathu ummu. Three conditions: hajja lillah, falam yafsuk, falam yarfut, walam yafsuk, raja'a kayomi waladathu ummuhu. By the time he comes back home, he's like the one that the woman just gave birth to. He will be like the day his mother just gave birth to him, free of sins. And elsewhere he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hajjun mabrurun laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. A well-performed hajj, the least reward it has is Al-Jannah. Hajj, well performed. That's why ulama encourage us to perform lots of hajj. We go to have been called a cow, MRT, no matter. Because if you didn't get it well in one, you can get it well in the second one, you can get it well in the third or the fourth or the fifth. Sufyan ibn Uyayna that we mentioned, he lived for 80 years. He performed 70 hajj. Sufyan ibn Uyayna. When he comes to Muzdalifah, he will say, Allah, bring me back next year. That's what you'll be saying. Allah mumi wa ladun tumbo. Allah mumi wa ladun tumbo. Allah will bring him. The year that he died, he said, Aftahi minka ya Rabbi. I'm shy of you, Allah. He did not live to witness the next hajj before Allah took him away. Al-Imam Sa'id ibn Jubair is tabi'i. He lived for less than 65 years. He made 45 hajj. 45. Likewise, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, around 45. Sheikh Al-Albani, 35. Rahimahullah. Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani made hajj 35 times. Man hajja lillah. Who made hajj for Allah? Falam yarfuf walam yafsuk. He did not say emotional things related to private matters with his wife. Neither did he do it with her. Walam yafsuk. and he did not make fisk, deliberately committing a sin. The day that he comes back, kayomi waladatu ummuhu, it's like the day that his mother gave birth to him, because he'll be free of sin. May Allah make it easy for us to perform Hajj. These are from the deep deeds of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. From those deeds of Dhul-Hijjah is also fasting, of Siyam. One of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصوم تسعة ذي الحجة. The wife of the Prophet said, رضي الله عنها, that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يصوم تسعة ذي الحجة. He will fast for the first nine days of the Hijjah. You know, it is wrong to fast on the 10th day. It is wrong to fast on Ayyam al-Eid. So he will fast for the first 9 days of the Hijjah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud and Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Al-Imam Ahmad mentioned it in his Musnad. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam yasumu tis'a zil-hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would fast for 9 days of zil-hijjah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. From the fastings that are now more encouraged out of these 9 days is the one on that 9th day, Gongo, Yawm Arafah. Because Yawm Arafah is the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah. So the fasting on that 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah is more encouraged. Abu Qatada al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu said, Su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam an sawmi Yawm Arafah. The Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam was asked about fasting on the days of Arafah. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam said, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةِ. Fasting on the days of Arafah, يُكَفِّرُ مَذَا السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةِ. Allah will use it to atone for your sins of the past year, last year. وَالْبَاقِيَةِ. And another 1 year ahead. So it's like you have reserve up origin for 1 year. May Allah forgive all of us. So you see, this first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, 1 year before, 1 year ahead of forgiveness. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Many times when people are surprised about hadith, they are not scholars of hadith, so they say it's daif. It would just be Albani in hadith. Have you been bad? You know? This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Allah. From the things we should prepare for is salah, hafizu, ala salawat. We should prepare that salatul jama'ah will not miss us in this first 10 days. There are some of us, we sleep from dusk to dawn. Salam alaikum isha'u diya salatu khayru minan nawm. Make sure that it does not exceed that one. That you observe salatul fajr in jama'ah, salatul zuhri in jama'ah, asri in jama'ah, al-maghrib in jama'ah, salatul isha'ah in jama'ah. Because it has more rewards than the ones you would observe outside these for 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Pay attention to Salah. Likewise, from the things you should pay attention to in these for 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is what? At-Takbiru wa-Tahleelu wa-Tahmeed. At-Takbiru wa-Tahleelu wa-Tahmeed. Saying, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. The way they used to say it is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Abdullah ibn Abbas, in that hadith from him, as was collected by Imam al-Tabarani in his Fadlu Ashri Dhul-Hijjah, he has a riwayah of that hadith. It says in it that ما من أيام أعظم عند الله عز وجل ولا أحب فيهن إليه العمل من هذه الأيام. There are no days that are significantly great in the sight of Allah, the Mighty and Sublime. ولا أحب فيهن إليه العمل, and in which good deeds are dearer to him min hadhihi al-ayyam, better than these 10 days. The best 10 days, and the 10 days, the days in which good deeds are best. The day itself is excellent. Good deeds inside these are the best. Combining two things. He says there are none min hadhihi al-ayyami ayyam al-ashri. Or min hadhihi al-ayyami ayyam al-ashr. Like these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهَلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Therefore, أَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ. Say much of what? التَّحْمِيدُ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. Say much of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله, الله أكبر, الله أكبر, ولله الحمد. No particular recipe with Facebook and WhatsApp in the first 10 days of the feast. Say الله أكبر, الله أكبر, لا إله إلا الله, الله أكبر, الله أكبر, ولله الحمد. This hadith we have read, like I mentioned, is in Fadlu Ashri Dhul-Hijjah by Imam al-Tabarani. Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi also reported it in his Sha'abul Iman. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar mentioned Sikh Hassan. Sheikh al-Albani also mentioned Sikh Hassan in Irwa al-Ghali. The reason we are saying that, some people can say, hey, Didian, hey, Aziz Daisy. That's why we mentioned those narrations, those who have verified them. Regarding those takbirah, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions in his Sahih, an asar from Abu Hurairah and Abdullah ibn Umar, that Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Marwazi has reported in his book Al-Eidain. Al-Imam al-Marwazi said, كان Abu Hurairah وابن عمر, Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه and Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهم, يأتيان السوق أيام العشري, يأتيان هما, the two of them, they will come to the market in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. فَيُكَبِّرَان, they will be making takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Why do they go to the market? Because Naira and Kobo takes away the mind and attention of the people. Oh people, لَا تَغْفُلُوا. Emma Yakin. The first one you spoke. Emma Sasu Fuye. Eh? I like that, Yoruba. But you gave me another one. That one is abusive. So don't become oblivious. This is why I don't preach in Yoruba still. Because in English, I can pick the exact word, gaga. So don't become oblivious. Don't become forgetful. So they say Allah, in the market. So when people hear it, Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Umar, what will they do? He says, Radiallahu anhuma fayukabbiran. The people too, fayukabbirani wa yukabbirun nasu ma'ahuma. The two of them will be making takbirat, fayukabbirun nasu ma'ahuma. So the people too begin to say, Allahu Akbar. Ulama say, if you are somebody that when you do something like that, people will follow you. Do it so that people will be following you. So if we have one commissioner of Kinika, he goes around, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha. Will people do it and follow him or not? Huh? they will follow. If a governor does that, gbogbo osogbo eni o ma pa ati christian ati muslim allahu akbar allahu akbar la ilaha illallah allahu akbar allahu akbar wa lillahi alhamd for 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So let's not forget one of the tabi'un, Maymun ibn Mihran, he said adraktu an-nas, I met that Maymun ibn Mihran is tabi'un tabi'. Since adraktu an-nas, I met the people. When he speaks like this, he'll be referring to the tabi'un. Wa innahum la yukabbiruna fil ashri, they will be making takbir in these 4-10 days. Hatta kuntu ushabbihuha bil amwaji min kasratiha, they will be making takbir. Hatta kuntu ushabbihuha bil amwaj, I'll be likening it to waves. Because of a lot of people making this takbirah. Radiallahu anhu. This tabi'i will say, inna nas, unfortunately the people, qad naqasu fi tarkihim at-takbir. Naqasu, they have reduced in their good deeds. Why? Taraku hadhihi at-takbir. They left these takbirat. It is not as if it comes in our own times today, what will he say? May Allah forgive all of us. He would say, "Inna nas qad naqasu fi tarkihim at-takbir." The people have not fulfilled their duties. They have not done well for leaving these takbirat. Where I want our balai Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But now people claim piety with little deeds of piety. People claim piety now, and the deeds of piety are small. May Allah forgive all of us. The other thing we should take care of. Al-Imam ibn Rajab, let me mention this because of a lot of young people now, they like to call things bid'ah. Al-Imam, because you can find some asar where you will hear that, say sunnani, some asbah al-tabi'in said that. That's why Al-Imam ibn Rajab al-Hanbali said, wa minna nas man balaga, there are some people who went to extremes, wa addahu min al-bid'ah, and they counted this takbirat as from innovation. وَلَمْ يَبْلُغُهُ مَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ, because the hadith regarding that did not reach him. So he thought that we say bid'ah. Some young boys now can come back and go and be quoting those asar. Say, I want to say bid'ah. Otherwise, nobody will refer to something that is established from a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, that people like Abu Hurairah, Abdullah ibn Umar will go to the public to start saying Allahu Akbar, and then it is not sunnah, they have not heard it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Nobody will refer to that kind of a thing as a bid'ah, except that if he is from the scholar, he does not know none. Because you can find on the next Facebook tomorrow, some people started saying, somebody said it is bid'ah, somebody said it is bid'ah. Awon salaf. Je ki eti re o gbon ti awon salaf so. Ibn Rajab said, rahimahullah, minan nasi man baalaga, there are some who went extremes overboard, wa addahu min al bid'ah, and they count it as from innovation. The reason why they counted it as innovations is that lam yablughu ma fi dhalika min as-sunnah, what the sunnah that establishes that practice did not reach him, so he's giving him excuse. If you come back to say bid'ah now, I makala so tripe work in sa pa so le so pe bid'ah ni kan. May Allah protect all of us. From the things we need to take care in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is that those of us that Allah has blessed who will be slaughtering rams on the day of Eid, You must not touch anything from your hairs or your fingernails until you slaughter your ram. And to have heard them, Kumal Faru Tabi Gay Kana Tabi Ray Kanako, she gay Kana Yadire. You know, in Lagos, woman war filani. I woman war filani. Woman war filani, I be come and be filani. They will call you a rookie. Yes, I'm a rookie. Oh, then for a day. One of those, I will laugh for a day. So if we want to slaughter Ram, Iran on the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, don't shave, don't cut your beard. It's worth to touch the beard in the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Rafiru Bayele, Jeje, don't do dirty shaving. Don't cut anything from your head. No look up. My girl, what do you want to say better? My cannot do anything before you start. You have Monday to Friday to do that. You have Monday to Friday to shave, to cut your mustache short. When I say shave, you know what I mean. Because people have a way of always misconstruing what people say deliberately now. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَضِعِهِ. They will take away what you say from its context. Shave means don't shave your head. They can say, oh, it means shave your head. They will themselves take it out and give it the meaning they want. Allahu Akbar, wana marare. So do that kind of a thing in the first 10 days of the Hijjah is worse than in other days. So let us watch all these practices. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha quoted that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wassalam, إِذَا دَخَلَتِ الْعَشْرُ, when the 10 days come, وَأَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يُضَّحِيَ, and any of you intend to slaughter, فَلَا يَمَسَّ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا بَشَرِهِ شَيْئًا, let him not touch anything from his sha'ar or his body, his skin. Don't shave anywhere from your skin, or don't cut any of your fingernails. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ it says, فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ لَهُ شَعْرًا وَلَا ظَفْرًا, let him not touch any of his hair or anything from his fingernails. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Okay, I want this Kazan Kafwalu Ibunati, Sahih Muslim, Lua. Iza Dakalat il Ashru, when did the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah reach? Wa arada ahadukum ayyid dhahiyah, and any of you, yudhahiyah, is intending to slaughter Iram. Fala yamassa min sha'ihi. وَلَا بَشَرِهِ شَيْئًا, let him not touch anything from his hair nor from his fingernails, as we have read through. These are the basic things we felt appropriate to mention for these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us reach these days. We beg Allah to make us reach these days. We beg Allah to make us reach this day. We beg Allah to make it easy for us to get ready for those days. And we beg Him to give us the tawfiq to make lots of good deeds on those days. We beg Him to help us sustain our sincerity for good deeds on those days. And beyond them, good deeds may be spoiled after they have even been properly performed. Someone can perform good deeds, guiding his intention, guiding the sumiyah of the deed. 6 months after, he will say something and all the deeds will be cancelled. May Allah protect us from this evil. One of the ulama wrote an entire book on this. He called it Mubtilatul A'mal, things that destroy deeds. Bashadje. Things that, yes, the deeds are there. And the other brothers, you know one of them? Backbiting the people and slandering them. Ma rujueni eleni leni, ma baje leni. It is the job of Muflisun. May Allah protect us from these evils. They are common now in our time. In the name of browsing and Facebooking and WhatsApping, these things have provided platforms for a lot of backbiting and slandering of other Muslims. We beg Allah to protect us from this evil. It's a very, very common evil. Bashegeni. May Allah protect us from that. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. The others are the issues of slaughtering. Go. Maybe at question time. We have x, dy is equal to f of x, f of y, and f of z. What's different between that and f of xyz? Are they the same? F of x, f of y, f of z. Y is equal to f of x, f of y, f of z. And y is equal to f of xyz. Are they the same? Huh? Where is Abdullah? Are they the same? F of xyz in one bracket and f of x, f of y, f of z. Y is equal to f of x. Only will have nothing but the logic. So when should we slaughter our ram? Is it before the is it immediately after the salah? Or immediately after the khutbah? Or after the imam slaughters his own after the imam's khutbah? These are your XYZ, Adi. In Madhab Imam Malik, it is this. Don't slaughter your ram until after Salah and Khutbah and Imam's slaughtering. This is the position of Imam Malik, Rahimahullah, and his students. And they have two hadiths on that. The first hadith, they are both in Sahih Muslim. In the first hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited slaughtering the ram. Don't disturb yourself. Just go to Kitabul Adahi in Sahih Muslim. You will see it's Babu Waqti Al-Udhiya. The chapter regarding the time of the slaughtering. If I remember that chapter heading correctly. You see these ahadith on that. Are you with me? It's your answer. So, in the first hadith, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited slaughtering before Salah ends. He observed Salah to eat. He just looked up and saw that some people had started slaughtering their rams on the eat ground. He told them, those of you who have slaughtered your rams before Salah, go and look for another ram to slaughter. Repeat your slaughter. So he prohibited slaughtering before the end of Salah. As for khutbah and his own slaughtering, that's based on another hadith also in Sahih Muslim, hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. In it, he saw that some people slaughtered when he had not slaughtered after Salah. He told them to repeat the slaughter. This is the evidence for those upon the madhab of Imam Malik that you must not slaughter before your imam. You must wait until the salah is observed, the khutbah is observed, and the slaughtering of the imam is done before you now slaughter. But the Jumhur ulama, they are of the opinion that once the Imam ends his salah, you can slaughter. That he had prohibited those people who slaughtered, as we mentioned in that hadith of Jabir, by way of preventing them so that hastiness to slaughter does not now make them slaughter before the end of salah. So that's why they say, after salah, you can start slaughtering. That is the basic rule. But he had prohibited slaughtering as he did in that hadith of Jabir, by way of preventing the people not to hasten to slaughter and then they slaughter before the end of the salah. So if you ask me, when do you slaughter? Slaughter the ram after the Imam's salah. This is the view of the large majority of ulama. And Imam Ibn Qudama in his book Al-Mughni explained at length. Likewise, Al-Imam Abu al-Abbas al-Qurtubi, these are the explanations they gave. And it appears the most correct. In fact, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah was of the opinion that if you are not able to go for Salatul Eid, but you can estimate that the Salah would have been observed, you can slaughter your ram. You can estimate that, or you can't kill yourself, you can slaughter your ram. Even if they may not have ended the khutbah, even if the Imam may not have slaughtered his own ram. And from the benefits of the first hadith we read to us is that the ram itself can be slaughtered on the Eid ground. I can take my ram to the Eid ground. Although I'll slaughter my own in Makkah, inshallah, not Eid ground. I hope it is clear now. Can a woman having missed Ramadan fast in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? Some of the ulama say that reward would be better than the fasting in Ramadan. If the reason for not fasting in the month of Ramadan was genuine, like a woman menstruating, they have discussed it, ulama have discussed it. Now, last week we were stranded. Fasting for the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah according to the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What of the Saturday in between? Since we are discouraged to fast on Saturday, I was waiting for this question. I knew it would come. Since that I speak now, what is correct to me is that don't fast on Saturday if that fasting is not compulsory. Because the exception the Prophet gave for fasting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Saturday is that except the fasting is compulsory. Every other explanation you'll be giving, I'll be asking you that same question. Is the fasting compulsory? Because he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tasumu yawma sabti, yawma sabti, illa si mafturidu alaykum. Don't fast on Saturday except a fast that is made compulsory on you. Okay. This is the basic rule. Don't fast on Saturday except that fasting is made compulsory on you. So now someone says, what if I fast on Thursday and Friday before that Saturday? Ask that person our question. What is the question you will ask that person? Is that fasting you want to fast on Saturday compulsory? If the person says no, says the Prophet says, don't fast on Saturday. Some come to say, oh, this hadith is weak. We say the hadith is sahih. If you remember, I think in the last class, we are talking about Abdullah ibn Bustrin. This hadith is hadith to Ali Bustrin. The hadith of the family of Bustrin. Because the incident happened inside their house. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to observe salah in that house. And he made that statement after that. So Abdullah reported it. His father reported it. His mother reported it. His aunt reported it. His sister reported it. Some say, oh, we don't know who actually reported it. Is it the father or the son? Or the sister, or the brother, or the uncle, say all of them reported it. This is why they say it is mutarik. So how will it be mutarik if we understand that the statement was made? And Abdullah ibn Busr has a riwayah. This riwayah is very important. He says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held my hand in bay'ah and said, Ya Abdullah, O Abdullah, la tasum yawm as-sabti illa fi mafrid alayk. Don't fast on Saturday unless it is compulsory. The Prophet held my hand shaking it, said, don't fast unless it is compulsory. People want to fast a fast that is not compulsory. So ask the simple question, is it compulsory? Do you think Abdullah ibn Busr would, because he lived and died in Palestine, in Sham, do you think he would now go away from the Prophet and fast on Saturday because he fasted on Thursday, because he fasted on Friday? Do you think ibn Busr would do that? Abdullah ibn Busr, after he left the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are Lord, the Kalama by when you're fasting. You think that's how the companions relate to the Prophet Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't forget, Abdullah ibn Busr and their family, their Islam was very late. It has an implication. The Akhara Islamuhum. Their Islam was late. So don't come to say, and one day the Prophet told his wife. So you think what he told his wife, he did not tell Ibn Busr. Don't forget that Al-Amru li wahidin, Amrun lil jama'a, aw lil kull, illa li nafsin. When the Prophet commands one person or tells him to do one person, he's telling the entirety of the Ummah. So we can say that statement was even also talking to his wife, saying, well, you that I had allowed you before. Take note, the only fast that you can fast on Saturdays are what? Obligatory fast. If you want to remain with the text. Everything everybody says, ask them that question. Is it obligatory? I think that resolves that issue. I wish I had not been asked. Was why I didn't talk about it. Perhaps we could just avoid it. But since it was asked, then we would answer it. Alaykum salam. If your Yawm Arafah falls on Saturday, is fasting on Arafah compulsory? He's not answering me, oh. One one Indian here, oh. He has not answered me first. Is it compulsory to fast on Saturday? Is on Arafah? On Saturday if it is, or Arafah, whenever, if it is not compulsory? Is it allowed to fast on Saturday if it is not compulsory? Eh? No. Or yes. Or yes or no. A question can have a yes or no answer. Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani was asked a question one day and he said yes and no. That is, it has to see. Oh, la, la, la. Sometimes when you answer you yes or no, they think evil of you. They think you want to spoil the answer. Our farm also there. So your Arafah comes on Saturday. What will you do? La tasumu yawm as-sabti illa fi maftrid alayk. What is the meaning of this hadith? Do you know that that hadith did not stop there? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you will go to eat liha hashajari, the back of a tree, make sure you don't fast on Saturday. So it's not just mujarrad al-nahyi, it is al-nahyu ma'a al-tawqeed. Koda bo jayegi, ebo ji, jayegi yao. Koda bo jayegi on Saturday, abitoba jayegi yao. Wani koko fast on Thursday, fast on Friday. ti Saturday to fe fi konta lorun e. Allahu alam. The only thing that will remove this matter is another hadith in Sahih. That will remove this matter from the way it is. You can be talking to say, Afa Allah Jaja Sufi, no problem. Afa Allah Jaja Sufi, laba. But our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So far, we have been la wadu si. Only a fitu ba joranya. La wadu si. He said, we said, Umm Salama, or one of the wives of the messenger, said that the messenger would fast for 9 days. So it means it was including Yawm Arafah. Very good. Very good. So if he had done so one day, and it was reported that he did that, and that day was a Saturday, and then he tells us, don't fast on Saturday unless it is compulsory. The biggest ruling you can get from that is Jawam. But the basic ruling you will get from this hadith of fasting on Saturday is a prohibition. And the ulama say, An-Nafsu Ad-Dal Al-Nahi, a text that says don't do something. Muqaddamun Al-Nafsu Ad-Dal Al-Ibah is giving preference over a text that proves that you can do it. But they can say this is tarjih, giving preponderance to a hadith or an evidence over the other. Wa yumkinu al-jamr wa al-izam kana al-jamr. If jamr is possible, you don't make tarjih. We say Allah make jamr biduni ta'assufin. The condition to make jamr is that it must not leave behind any part of the two hadith. If it leaves any part of the two hadiths that appear and require harmony, then that jamu is al-jamu ma'a ta'assuf. So if you say, okay, the Prophet fasted on the day of Arafah, and then he prohibited us from fasting on Saturdays, except that fasting is compulsory. How do you connect the two of them? Without leaving any part of any of the hadith. How do you make jam? He fasted on one Saturday now. But here he says, don't fast on Saturday unless it is compulsory. How do you connect it? That's why all the jam they have been making, it will leave aside this issue of except it is compulsory. It will leave it aside. That's why ulama said this jam is not compulsory. It's not possible. It is a tarjih that they will make. Something no jamu is possible. Make the jamu without leaving any part of the two hadith. If the jamu you make is to say you can fast on Thursday and Friday, and then on Saturday, what will be the question? That's part of the hadith, except it is compulsory, except the fast is compulsory. You have left it aside. I hope that this point is clear. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. Can we take that as the last question for today so that we can go? Ameen wa antum. If you leave the fasting on Arafah because it is a Saturday, one of the ulama say it is better for you than to fast it. You will gain more rewards than fasting it. It is said because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man taraka shay'illah awadahu Allahu khayran minhu. Whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give him something better than what he has left. You left fasting on Saturday because the Prophet prohibited fasting on Saturday except it is compulsory. Allah will give you a reward that is bigger than fasting on Saturday, on the day of Arafah. I think we can stop here. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِكْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا قوتنا ما بقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا اجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك